Hey, y'all, we're going to do something a little different this morning. So we have been doing a bunch of training this summer, like so much training, and doing some leadership training, stuff like that. And out of that have come like a lot of questions. And most of those questions have been really, really good, but they're questions I'm like, I wish they weren't asked in this environment. I feel like everybody should know this stuff. And so, guys, I don't know if you know this, but our ministry calendar starts next week. Mm-hmm. So the way we think about the ministry year is in line with the school year, even though we budget, you know, from from January on fiscally. But our ministry calendar, we have a new launch coming up next week, and thought, you know what, let's take a week and talk about some of why we do what we do. And so these are questions that we've heard from you guys, each of us individually, in a hallway, in a conversation, in a training time. You guys have asked us these questions at some point, and we thought, you know what, why don't we take a moment and answer them? So y'all, Aaron's going to be our MC. What's up, Aaron Anderson?
Howdy, church.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Aaron Anderson. I'm the youth director. Usually you find me back there, not up here in the bright lights. So, you know, here
you're doing
we go.
Great.
Thank
you're
going to
do great. Woo! So,
thank you. If you have a 7th through 12th grader, send them back to me after this service, 11:15. We're back there. It's super fun. It's called YSM. They need to be there. That's not part, but I just threw it out there.
I think it's worth the plug.
There we go.
Yeah, it's worth the plug.
All right. So we're just diving in.
I guess let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Should we pray? We should pray, right?
Let's pray.
Yeah, let's pray. We pray. You know, it's just like preaching. We're going to pray. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you into everything that we do, and pray that you would exalt Jesus this morning. I know it's a little weird. People probably came expecting to hear a sermon, but I pray in these answers that they would see Jesus clearly, and they would understand the heart of why we do what we do. And God, speak to us today. Speak to somebody today. Yeah, maybe even call them to you. And Lord, we ask that in your holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Boom.
All right. So we have a lot of new people that have been coming to our church lately. In fact, if you're new today, this is not our normal format. This is very different than what we normally do. But new people coming to our church, how can they learn more about our church and who we are?
This is me, right?
Yep.
All right. So, guys, we recognize that this is a deal. We see new people all the time. So we've got two steps that you can take to learn more about us. The first is super informal. So we're playing on the name First. So the first one is ready. First Look. If you just want a little information, super informal, we do this every 12 weeks, and then so we have something each 6 weeks. So we just did this 5 weeks ago. It's pizza with the pastors. You come, you meet the staff, you can ask us anything. I mean anything. Last time they were like, hey, what's the church's policy on drinking? I was like, well, we don't have like a written policy. We kind of go by this, and I think this says that you can drink as long as you don't get drunk. Everything in a spirit of self-control. What about dancing? He danced naked before the Lord. We try to stay away from that one, okay?
But that's a good point.
So any question you want to ask, man, it's here for that. So that's First Look. Just learn a little more about the church. The further than that, hey, you've been here a little bit, you've done that maybe, and you're interested in really like, but what is the DNA of the church? What's the mission, vision, values? How do we function and work? So we call that First Step. That's our membership class. And by the way, that is actually next Sunday. So we've been talking about it for a few weeks, but those are the two things. So they're set up. So basically one of those is every 6 weeks. So you'll have First Look, and then 6 weeks later, First Step, which is membership. And so every 6 weeks, we have an opportunity, if you're visiting, to learn more about our church.
Excellent. All right, this is a pretty big church. People are coming in and out. I want to get connected with other people, but I don't know how. How do I do that?
Hey, this is great. So I met someone face-to-face this morning that I've been texting with. If you fill out that welcome card, you're going to get a text from me, and we'll start a dialogue about some things happening at the church and kind of invite you into relationship with other people. So that's really the first thing that you can do if you're looking to connect. And so do this for me. How many of you have ever gotten a text from me in here? Two people. No, a lot of people, right? So I love to communicate this way, and so we have great dialogue. It's the first thing. But I would say this also, that we need to get into some community. And so there's lots of ways to do that. We have learned communities all the time here. We had some this morning on campus at 8:30. So if you don't have, we don't have childcare during that time, but if you want to come and have like a traditional Sunday school class, we have three different classes that meet here on campus. They're fantastic. We love to see those like triple quadruple, explode, have tons of new classes coming out of that, new teachers. We're excited about every Learn community here, and so that's one. We also have life groups. By the way, you can sign up for a life group next Sunday if you haven't done that yet, so we'll have a table out front for that. Other things as well. So we have our Wednesday night ministries, and those are kicking off very soon. Reengage. Some of you already signed up for our marriage discipleship class, and there's a table out front this Sunday right after the service. If you're interested, you can talk to Dana. She's out there. Get you signed up. So there's all of that. What else? Oh, one-on-one discipleship. We do so much of this. Guys, we have about between 20 and 30 people that are trained already and are in disciple-making relationships. Either they just are in it now, they're coming out of it, they're ready to go into it. So if you would like to know the basics, the foundations of following Christ, if no one's ever walked you through that before, and you'd like to learn, how do I follow Jesus? One-on-one discipleship is hands down the best way to do that. If you're interested, you can sign up, and you can be discipled or you can disciple somebody else. So what did I miss, Aaron? Did I miss something?
That was perfect, because you know what my next question is, Kevin? It's great. You keep talking about making disciples.
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin and Pastor Jason. How do I know I'm ready to do that? Do I even know enough to be able to do that?
All right, so write this down, guys. Ready? If you know Jesus, you know enough to disciple someone else, period.
That's true.
That's it. If you know Jesus, you know enough to disciple somebody, okay? So I think we have misunderstood the Great Commission, okay? The Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, I say to you, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. We have convinced ourselves that we have to reach some level of knowledge before we do that. Like, I got to master some stuff, and then I will go obey the Great Commission, y'all. That's not how it works. Jesus sent out his disciples when they knew nothing, all right? I mean, they were so dumb, and he's like, go and announce the kingdom of God and heal the sick and the lame, and like, he sent them out. And so discipleship is not about reaching a level, and then I'm released to do it. In biblical discipleship, always, if I know Jesus, I know enough. And as I learn every step of the way, I'm sharing. So God teaches me something in my quiet time tomorrow, I'm looking for somebody to pour it into like that day, okay? So it is this concept. So if you think about the way our church is structured, we're going to have this whole series on inviting, okay? And about God's heart for people. If you invite somebody to church, and they come with you. Now you're like, I just met Jesus like 4 months ago. So let's say you're a new Christian, but you said, hey man, you got to come. So they come, they hear the gospel, which we preach here every single week. And let's say they come to faith, right? So they're probably, we're going to say, hey, raise your hand. And they may raise their hand. They're sitting next to you. You know they raise their hand. At the end of service, you guys come down together and we're going to say to them, I am so pumped that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus. Would you like somebody to teach you now what it looks like to follow him? And they're going to 100% of the time go, please, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look at you who invited them and go, hey, you have a relationship with them. You can do this. And you know what? In a 5-10 minute conversation, we can actually prepare you to do it because you know enough. You know enough. So yeah, anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. Everybody should be doing this. The Great Commission is not optional. Friends, it's not optional. It's a command.
Awesome. And just shout out, I have students doing this among each other right now without me. They're doing it on their own. So if middle school and high school kids can do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Kevin, you mentioned life groups earlier. What are life groups and how do they work?
So life groups are groups that meet in homes or a coffee shop or different places. They're doing life together, but more than that, they're going deeper together, growing as believers together. So we do this thing on our bulletin where we list some questions that are related to the sermon. And so you have opportunity in a group of people that are kind of in your life stage usually to talk about these things and discuss what does that look like in our lives and those sorts of conversations. And so it's pretty exciting to be able to do that and grow together. A lot of times life groups, they may say, well, we're a group with kids. I went to a group. Anybody here from the Frankie's group right now? I went to that group on Friday for more or less, right, for a birthday party for a set of twins, and they were all there having a great time, right? So this is pretty much the life group. They're doing life together. They're growing together. They're growing as believers. So That's what a life group kind of is, and it can be any stage of life. Sometimes they're mixed. Usually they're, you know, if you have kids or don't have kids, they gather together that way. But it can be any kind of group that gathers to talk about following Jesus more closely. And how you get into that group is like this. We do have some groups listed on our website. You can check them out. We can help you connect. If you sign up next week for life groups, we'll send you a link, and we'll try and figure out what is a group for you. But you know, the most successful groups are the ones that just start. Last year we had several groups that just said, hey, what if we got a few people together that we sit near and we're getting to know at church? What if we gathered together and started a group? And I say, yes. And so when that happens, those groups grow quicker. They're very inviting. They multiply quicker. And so if you're thinking, man, I'm not in a group yet, I'd really kind of like to be in a life group, the best thing you could do is just be in prayer. Could I host this? What if I got another couple with me and we did it together? Do I know one other person that I could say, are you in a group? Maybe we should go have coffee and talk about it. You know, so that's kind of how they work. Did I cover everything?
I think so. There'll be a table next week. If you're just like, man, it's hard to connect with people, I haven't met anybody, there'll be a table out after each service where you can just go hang out at the table. Other people are going to go there too. And we're going to help you initiate some conversation, stuff like that. But really, one of the best ways, legitimately, we have a meet and greet time. Like anybody that you've been talking to, you know, every week you go, hey, good to see you. Man, just go up and ask them 1 week, hey, are you guys in a life group?
And it's so vital to be in a group.
It is.
Because if you're just coming here on Sundays, I mean, you're hearing the word and that's great. But if you're going to grow, it's going to happen outside of Sunday morning. So you need to be able to do life with other people, walk through the scriptures together. And so if you're not in a group, you can start one. We can talk about that. I can help you find one. There's lots of ways. But we want you to get plugged in and meet other people.
Yep.
So real important.
Very good. I know in our church we have a motto, worship, learn, serve, share, and we talk a bunch about serving. What are ways that I can serve in our church? Am I qualified to serve in our church?
We'll split it. Okay. Let's split it. Yes, you are qualified in some areas, okay? So we have a church full of servants. The only way we work is by serving, okay? So we think that, like, this is why Jesus came and he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, right? So Jesus, our example, serving is important. We want to follow his example. So we think everybody should serve. Now, there are some areas you could serve today. Like, you could sign up today. So anybody can stand at our front door as long as you can smile, okay? If you don't have a smiley face, you cannot stand at my front door. I love you. If you look bitter, we need to go stand in front of the mirror, and we'll work on your smile together for a while. But once you figure out how to unleash it, then you can stand at the door, right? So anybody can do that. We have some cooking teams. You gotta do a little certification, but it's not high level stuff. You can do that.
Let me interject. If you want to do that, they'd love to train other people to join that team.
100%. I'm trying to think. Safety
what about
team needs
shout
a little
out to the media
stuff.
Booth. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah,
up
absolutely.
There.
So we can train you how to do this. These guys are doing great. Takes a little bit of training, but it's a pretty easy thing to get into. We have some things that take a little bit more. You want to talk about those?
Sure. Yeah. If you want to lead a life group, we would love for you to be a member. Same thing if you're going to be involved in one-on-one disciple making. We'd love to have you partner with us in that way.
But you have to be a member.
But you have to be a member to lead in
yep.
those areas. Also, there are some areas where you have a little more, stuff to go through before you serve. Kidsmen is one of those,
yep.
right? So we want to do background checks. There's training videos. There's some things that you need to do to work in student ministry or kids ministry. But this is the area of our greatest need.
Yep.
And actually, you look around, we're pretty full today. As we continue to grow and think about what God is doing as we reach the city, what we need is people to serve in Kidsmen and pour into that next generation, number one, and also pour into families. So as they come to worship, you're serving, and it's just kind of dual.
And it's
thing.
Fun, by the way.
It
kids
is.
Are awesome. Like kids
fun.
Are, go give a kid a high five, teach them about Jesus. They will remember you for the rest of their life.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to add to that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Kid men student ministry. I think they're so vital to the growth of our church and also to be able to invest into the next generation. But so many people, I don't have the statistic, but the majority of people that come to Christ do that before fifth grade. So if you're serving in our Kidmin nursery or the elementary area, you have this opportunity to share the gospel with kids, and it could change their life forever. Amen. And you're going to be able to pour into these kids in this way that is just huge. And also with student ministry as well. It's that very transformative time of their life, and you get to pour into them. God can really use that, and you might think, back to discipleship, do I know enough? I know especially in the nursery and elementary area, like they're giving you the things to do and to say, and you get to grow in your faith as you're helping kids grow in their faith as well. So that's
and
my
so
plug.
These two areas of need, I mean, Kidsmen works, how many kids do we have every Sunday?
We need just to have every room open, guys. We have to have 40 volunteers on a regular every week, mm-hmm. just to have every kids' room open. 40 volunteers. Now, at a church that's, you know, has 500 people show up, you may say, well, that's awesome, that's easy, right? Well, 150 of those are kids. You add youth to that, so almost like a third of our church are students and children. Okay, so but we need a regular 40.
We do. Yep. So greatest need, if you can serve there, also life groups.
Life groups.
Too.
We
yeah.
need we need some new life groups.
In these areas,
greatest
so,
need. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Excellent. All right. Here we go. This is a big one. Why does Pastor Jason
I knew this was
keep talking about invitation all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor. Geez, we don't like it.
Wow.
Gosh, how dare you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I said this earlier. Great Commission is not optional. Okay? It's a command. So it's not optional. We live like it's optional. It is absolutely not optional. Okay? So we are all called to make disciples. Guys, discipleship cannot start without evangelism. Somebody has to come to know the Lord before you can train them up in the Lord. Are we all in agreement of that, right? Like, all basic. Okay, I mean, that's basic stuff. So then we have to actually to share Christ. Here's the deal. Most people, again, we think, well, I've got to take a class. I need to know the four spiritual laws. I need to know, like, whoa. Like, let's let this be our guide, okay? So, a woman at the well meets Jesus. You know what she does? She goes and tells everybody in town, come see the man who told me everything about myself and still loved me. That's all she said. She said, come and see. Like so invitation is the most basic form of evangelism, and it's the most effective, relational invitation. When we know people, we invest in their lives and we invite them, they are very likely to come and accept that invitation. So that matters. When they do hear, we're promising you, the person you're praying for, that they will come to know the Lord, I promise you, if you bring them through these doors, they will hear the gospel about Jesus every week, including this week. Yes, it's coming, all right? So I promise you it's going to happen, right? So the thing you're praying for, it's the most basic. We can't get away from it. Okay, we also exist to train you up, right? We want you to know, if you know Jesus, you have a story, right? So we want you to testify. It doesn't have to be hard. Like, I was blind and now I see. That's a testimony. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will give you power to that. And then, of course, we're here to train you in how to share the gospel, right? That God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to live the perfect life you couldn't, to die on the cross, a death that you deserve, that's necessary because we've all sinned and rebelled against God. And we can't make ourselves right anymore, that God's perfect and he can't have sin in his presence. And so we're all cast out of the presence of God, and we're born with this giant hole in our hearts, and we know we're missing something. And we look to the world for all these things, trying to find, right, what it is we're missing, and what we're missing is God. Yet we can't make ourselves right with God, which is why Jesus came, right? And so the gospel matters, but friends, listen, invitation. Here's the deal. Read your Bible again through a different lens. So we just did 26 weeks through the Old Testament about God's plan of redemption, but read it thinking about invitation. Starts with creation. Adam and Eve, come and look at all that I've made for you, right? It's an invitation. Abraham, hey, I want to make you mine. I'm going to bless the world through you. Let's do life together. God is an inviter. Jesus is the perfect picture of God, the Bible says, right? He's the clearest example of God we'll
Absolutely.
Ever see. And he comes to earth, and what is God going, no, I condemn you. No, stay away from me. No, I'm too busy. He's like, come to me. Come closer. Let's spend life together. This is the heart of God. And so, guys, my number one job as pastor is to help you look like God. Mm-hmm. So if God is an inviting God, I'm gonna I'm going to call you to it, even if you don't like me for it. I mean it.
When we're talking about invitation, does it only strictly mean, hey, come with me on a Sunday morning to church? Does it include other things?
You should invite to everything, right? I mean, and I think this is, we've talked about this in the past. Yeah. You know, Satan wants us to be isolated.
Right.
God is drawing us close and inviting us in. And so it's the same should be true for us as believers. We should be inviting people to Sunday school. We should be inviting people to our life group. Invite them to join you at Reengage. Invite them to come have coffee where you can talk about your testimony. Invite them to come have coffee when you start discipling them. Invite them to church and sit with them. And if they make a decision and they're convicted and they want to come and give their life to Christ, come with them to come and meet with us and then invite them to continue to learn alongside you. But it's every step of the way we're inviting people along, right? So come with me. Come with me. It's very inclusive. We want you to be with us.
Yeah. And guys, I realize because I say it every week, like some of you just feel guilty. And I'm sorry. That happens for a few reasons. It really does. Some of you are just too hard on yourselves. I love you, but you're hard on yourself all the time. Like you're your own worst critic. Some of you are doing it. So give yourself a pat. Be like, I did it this week. Good job, right? Some of you judge your effectiveness in invitation based on whether or not people come. Okay, so I'll share you like just a little trick. It matters if we pray for those people first. So typically when I'm praying, like if I just invite a random person, like you should come to church with me. They're like, I don't even know you, fool. That's their typical response, right? But when I've prayed for them, God's allowed me a relationship with them, and then we're doing life together. Then when I say to that person, hey, what are you doing Sunday? Do you want to come to church and maybe we can grab lunch afterwards? They're more open to that. So there's that. The other reason I think some people feel guilty, and guys, I love you. I'm not trying to hurt feelings, okay? At some point in our lives, especially as our kids get older, sometimes we just don't have lost people in our lives anymore, right? Our children were like the inlet to us being around unchurched people. And as you get older, then what happens? Well, I fill that with another Bible study and another Bible study. So if you're going to 3 Bible studies a week and you don't have any unchurched people to invite, you probably feel guilty because I keep saying invite people and you don't have anybody to invite. And I love you, so this is the most spiritual thing I can tell you. Ready? Drop a Bible study or two and take it like an art class or yoga. That's spiritual. Like go play some pickleball at the rec center. We got to be around people that are unchurched. And you don't have to, like, if we're the light of the world. And Jesus says, don't hide it under a basket. And so, y'all, if all I do is spend time with other Christians, you know what I'm doing with my light? I'm hiding it under a basket. And so if you're not around people that are unchurched at all, now, I'm not saying go yoke yourself to them. Like, let's party, let's do it. I'm saying you got to have some exposure. And it is natural as your kids get older to lose some of that exposure. So think about, like, talk to your wife. Hey, you want to take a cooking class they're offering at the rec center? Like, let's do it. Maybe we'll meet a few other couples. We can invite them to church. It's about living on purpose. Anyway, does that help?
That does.
Okay.
Very much so. For people that have been here for a while, can you explain why you pray the way you do at the end of each service?
Yeah. Hey, we're going to do it here in a second. So I came back from, I took a month off last July. Needed it, had been here about 14 years. We'd been through a lot. lots of great stuff, but I needed a moment just to kind of, get some focus. And one of the things, my good friend David Smith that was here with you guys, he had an invitation every week. I don't know if you guys remember that. And Dave and I were talking as I was gone, and the Holy Spirit really convicted me, like, dude, what are you doing? Look at who's coming. Like I am bringing the people. You need to provide the opportunity. So just in my spirit, I said, I'm never going to preach again something on Sunday morning that does not connect to the gospel. So every message that we preach, including when we just talk about our church mission, is attached to this fact that God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And the only way he can do that is if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, because God's standard for accepting us, guys, isn't good. That's what the world tells you. Mm-hmm. His standard is righteous, right? Yeah. And nothing I can do can make me righteous. So we're always going to preach the gospel, and I'm always going to close with this prayer for two reasons, okay? We're going to pray out loud. How many of you, come on, be honest. You can. This is be honest with your pastor. I'm not judging you. It makes you a little uncomfortable to pray out loud every Sunday. Come on. Hey, awesome, good. Hey, thank you. I'm glad I get to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you guys make me uncomfortable. but here it is, two reasons. Number one, I wasn't raised in church, and I remember what it was like when God started pulling on my heart, and I felt like I couldn't do it. I was all alone, right? We're never going to make somebody feel all alone. We're going to pray with them, okay? The Bible calls us to pray for one another. So when we pray out loud at the end of the service, if the Holy Spirit is moving in somebody's life, it allows them not to feel alone in that, right? And so we're praying for them as they, hello, you get to be part of their spiritual birthday. Let's go, right? Be like, I was there. I prayed with you. It's awesome. So that's cool, okay? But two, we are here to equip you to make disciples. Amen. Invitation is the most basic form, which we should be doing every week, okay? Telling people what God has done for us, yes, but also sharing the gospel. And when we pray, as you guys pray out loud every week, it's different words every week. Amen?
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to take notes and check a box, you're like, I can't follow this guy. I don't know. But it's always the same components, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I've sinned. Jesus, I believe you're the only way. Come into my life and take control. We're teaching you how to go lead somebody else to Christ, right? Because, guys, our church is heading in a direction that it won't be one of us that gets that privilege. As God continues to grow us, it will be you, mm-hmm. right? And our job is to equip you for that ministry. So that's why we kind of do it the way we do it.
Well, and speaking of that, what would you say to someone that this was their first time here today?
Yeah, one, come back next week because it's not always like this,
right?
But two, here's what I'm going to say to you. I've said it three times already. If you came to church, you probably came to church for a reason. You probably came to church because you feel like you need it. Maybe you feel alone. I've been there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you feel trapped because you have been living in such a way that you know that it is not honoring of God, but you can't get out. I have been there too. And the answer is what we proclaim this morning. His name is Jesus. And he loves you so much that he has done for you what you could not. He provides freedom, but it is only through his name that you can receive it. And so here's how we're going to end our service the same way we do every week. We're going to pray and we're going to have an opportunity. If you are here today and you know that you are far away from God, if you're here today and you came because what you're longing for, you didn't even know it, but there's been a hole in your heart. You've tried to fill it with everything else except Jesus. And today you heard, wait a second, none of that stuff's going to work? You mean he's the only way that I can have a relationship with God? Yeah, that's what he said. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. If you feel that distance from God and you would like to have a relationship with him, you can do that today. So here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to pray same way we close every service. We're going to dim the lights. We're not playing music. This isn't emotional. I'm not trying to get you all cry and snotty bubbly, you know, although there's, you listen, that's fine at camp. But right now, we feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to always offer an invitation for anyone to come to know Christ. Last year, we kicked off January, I think it was January, we did worship, learn, serve, and share. We talked about serving, and we had people getting saved as other people were just talking about how they're serving the church. And so felt very much like we needed to do this today. So if you're here today, every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm just going to ask this simple question. If you know that you are far away from God and you don't want to be anymore, just would you raise your hand right where you are? Just say, Pastor, that's me. I'm so tired of it. You feel that distance. That's why you're here today. I'm taking my glasses off so I can see you guys out there better. Anybody? Just like, Pastor, that's me. That's why I came to church. That's me. I just need it. Anybody? Just say, so everybody here is a believer is what I'm hearing. Everybody's good with Jesus. What about how many Christians you're not living the right way? Okay. We need that distance to be right, right? So guys, we are going to pray. Now, if you're a Christian, again, you're not getting saved all over again. The churchy term for what we're about to do would be recommitment. I'm going to say to Jesus, I need you. As others are praying, you're saying again at the end of that prayer, take control of my life again. I surrender again. But if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, guys, today is your day to enter the kingdom. And so, church, we're going to pray for them. We did have a few hands raised. So we're going to pray together. We're going to pray out loud. And so if you raise your hand and that's you and you want to become a child of God today, you're going to pray this prayer. Maybe you've prayed before, but it's always felt like it's hitting the ceiling. This one's going to be answered, y'all. Something crazy is going to happen. God's going to come into your life. So pray with me. Let's pray out loud, church. Dear God, I come to you right now. I need help. I'm tired and I'm alone. I don't want it anymore. I'm so sick of feeling this way. Would you please, Jesus, come into my life today and take control of me? I can't do this anymore. I can't make myself right. Today I heard you live the life I couldn't. And you died the death I deserve. All I have to do is believe in you. I believe. Now teach me how to live for you from this day forth. Amen.